National Public Radio presents a production of the Hollywood Theater of the Year, 2000X. A radio series devoted to stories of the next millennia. Now, here is your host, the award-winning writer and critic, Harlan Ellison.
A story by my all-time favorite writer. The man's name is Gerald Kirsch, K as in Kirsch, K-E-R-S-H. He was born in 1911. He died in 1968. He died prematurely. He was a great, great storyteller, ladies and gentlemen. He had 19 novels and 21 short story collections published, but 21 of those books were never published in the United States. He wrote novels, short stories, articles about mystery, science fiction, war, any subject you could think about. In fact, you know the famous movie, The Dead of Night? Well, there was a legend that the section with the dummy in it, the evil dummy, was based on a Kirsch story. And recently, in correspondence that has just been discovered, the screenwriter of that piece sent his script to Kirsch, saying that Kirsch's story was his inspiration, but that he changed the story while retaining the spirit, and would Kirsch object? So Kirsch then asked his friend and newspaper editor Harry Ainsworth to compare the script with the original story. And Ainsworth said he thought they read as if they were both written by the same author. Kirsch then proceeded to grant the film writer permission to go ahead and use the script, saying that he wouldn't mind and that he didn't require even screen credit. Tonight's number is Kirsch's A Little Bank Deposit.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Am I intruding?
Well, as a matter of fact, this Stein of Ale was telling a very amusing story about a commercial traveler and a farmer's daughter. I suppose it could wait.
It's just that you look awfully familiar.
Well, have we met previously?
Well, not really. My name is Harlow Ellis. I'm a science writer for CNN. I was standing by the bar when I saw you sitting alone here, and I thought, that gentleman looks like the photographs in our files of the distinguished physicist, Sir Peter Perfermont.
Oh, those photographs must be, what, 30 years old?
30 years at the inside.
Well, you must have a sharp eye indeed if you recognize me by those old photographs. I fancy I must have changed somewhat since then. But, yes, I am Peter Perfermont, and they did make a night of me for some trifling work I did on nuclear physics.
What a stroke of luck. Vacationing in London and running into Sir Peter Perfermont. I've been an admirer of yours for quite some time, Sir Peter.
Oh, an admirer, eh? Oh, well, do sit down.
Why, thank you.
I am glad for once to be recognized. You might otherwise mistake me for an escaped convict or a lunatic at large or something of that sort. For I'm going to beg you to have the goodness to sit in this shadowy corner and keep your broad back between me and the door.
Gladly, Sir Peter. But why?
Well, have an eye on the mirror over my head, and you will in due course see the reflections of a couple of elbows who will come into this cozy little pub. Those men will be looking for me.
You don't want them to find you?
You will perceive by the complete vacuity of their expressions that they are from intelligence.
MI5? What do they want with you?
To carry me off. Evading those two young men is one of the few pleasures left me in my old age. Once I got out in a laundry basket. Tonight I put on workman's overalls over my dinner suit and went to a concert. I intend to go back to the center after I've had my evening, but I want to be left alone a bit. Of course, I have nobody but myself to blame for any slight discomfort I may at present suffer.
How so? I thought you had retired.
Oh, I did retire in 1990 when the Cold War was running down. My work, it seemed, was over. So I withdrew to a pleasant little villa at the Cap des Fesses, just outside that awful holiday resort, Les Sables des Fesses, in the south of France. Fully intended to end my days there, as a matter of fact. Set up a library and study there, and a compact but middling comprehensive laboratory. I went to all the music festivals, drank my glass of wine on the terrace of whatever cafe happened to take my fancy, and continued my academic battle with Dr. Frankenberg. Fluorine, ladies and gentlemen, is the enfant terrible of the elements. In temperament, it is a prima donna. And in character, a born delinquent.
A moment, Sir Peter. I am confused. Have we gathered here to discuss particle physics, opera, or pediatrics?
I was employing metaphors, Dr. Frankenberg. There's no reason for scientific discourse to be dry as dust, is there?
Ah, dust may be dry, Sir Peter, but one can examine it under the microscope. One cannot do that with a metaphor.
May I continue, Dr. Frankenberg?
If you must.
Fluorine cannot be kept in a pure state. It has an affinity for practically everything else on Earth, and what it has an affinity for, it tends to destroy. My theory involves what I can only describe as tame fluorine. Fluorine as housebroken and in harness.
Absurd. Fluorine will always pee-pee on the floor and resist the bridle.
Oh, well, now who's using metaphors?
At least mine aren't mixed.
I say it is possible to produce a stable fluorine.
And I say you might as well imagine Bart Simpson as Pope.
If Frankenberg is such an ass as you say, why do you bother?
It's the principle of the thing, my dear Azine. I am right, and Frankenberg is wrong. You see, in its natural state, fluorine...
Explain me no explanations. I am an architect, not a scientist. I'm not even an architect anymore. Just another emigre from the former Eastern Bloc. I would not understand your elucidation, my friend, nor do I care to. What does it matter? Well, if you will pardon me, I am going to stroll down to the topless beach.
Now, at your age, do you still indulge in that sort of thing?
I maintain an academic interest in naked women. It passes the time. Care to join me?
No. I must get back to my laboratory.
Suit yourself.
Resine! Open up!
Preferment, what are you doing pounding on my door like the KGB?
I've come with marmalade, relish, and this.
What is it?
Something special for tea, my dear Racine.
Smoked salmon?
No.
Obviously, you have just paid a visit to the Café de la Guerre Froide.
Nope. I've just come from the bank.
So, that's a parcel of money, I suppose. What's it to me? Let's have tea.
I didn't go to the bank to take something out, Racine. I put something in.
Make me no mystification, if you please. What's that?
That is proof positive that Frankenberg is wrong and I am right, Regine. What you see there is half a dozen ounces of absolutely stable fluorine 80 plus. And a critical mass at that.
Jargon, me no jargons. As I understand it, an atomic explosion takes place when certain quantities of radioactive material arrive in certain circumstances at what you call critical mass. But this being the case, that little packet, may I take it, be considered dangerous?
Oh, rather so. There's about enough fluorine 80 plus there to vaporize a medium-sized planet.
Fluorine bomb, an ounce of nitroglycerin, it's all the same to me. Tell me, preferment, how do you make it go off? Not, I gather, chucking it about on table.
No, it's completely inert. You could beat it with a sledgehammer or burn it with a blow lamp and nothing would happen. You can't explode it, well, as you understand an explosion, except under conditions difficult to create and useless once created. Although perhaps, while valueless as a weapon, it could be put to peaceful uses.
Perhaps, me no perhapses. A fighting cock could be used to make chicken broth. What did you want to bring it here for anyway?
Well, neither you nor anyone else will ever see fluoride 80 plus again. In about 14 hours, that piece there will, as you would put it, evaporate.
Why, as I would put it? How do you put it?
Why, you see, in point of actual fact, that stuff is exploding now. Only it's exploding very, very gradually. Now, for this explosion to be effectual as an explosion, we should have to let that mass expand at a temperature of anything over 60 degrees Fahrenheit in a hermetically sealed bomb case of at least 10,000 cubic feet in capacity. At this point, given suitable pressure, up she'd go. But when I tell you that before we could get such a pressure under which my fluorine 80 plus would undergo certain atomic alterations, the casing of our 10,000 cubic foot bomb would need to be at least 2 or 3 feet thick.
It's a chimera. Solid it evaporates. Burn your formula. Pay no further attention to it. Still, since you brought it, let's have a look at it. A notebook. Nothing here but a notebook. I knew all along it was a joke.
Good heavens. That ought to be safe in the bank. That's the formula.
And the bomb?
No, not a bomb, Razin. I've told you that fluorine 80 plus can't possibly be a bomb of its own accord. Confound it, I must have left it at the grocer shop.
Is it poisonous?
Toxic? I don't think so. Now, wait a minute. I distinctly remember when I left the house, I put the formula in my right-hand coat pocket and the fluorine 80 plus in the left. Now, first of all, I went to the Épicerie Internationale to get this marmalade and stuff. And so as not to crowd my left pocket, I transferred... it's quite all right, Razin. Oh, there's nothing to worry about, except that this is not the kind of notebook I like to carry about with me. Oh, no, the sample is safe and sound in the bank. It was a natural mistake. The packages are very much alike in shape and weight. No cause for anxiety. Pass the gentleman's relish, will you?
This horrible little bit of fluorine, you left it in the bank, did you? You bank at the Maritime.
Yes, why?
So do I. It's the safest bank in France. Its walls... Now follow me carefully, Perforant. Its walls are burglar-proof, bomb-proof, fire-proof, and absolutely airtight. The safety deposit vault is 40 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 10 feet high. This gives it a capacity of 12,000 cubic feet. It is maintained at a low humidity and constant temperature of 65 degrees Fahrenheit. The walls of this vault are of hard steel and reinforced concrete 3 feet thick. The door alone weighs 30 tons, but fits like a glass stopper in a medicine bottle. Does the significance of all this sink in?
Why?
Yes, why? No. You can say that again, why? What you have done, my irresponsible friend, is put your mess of fluorine 80 plus in its impossible casing.
Good heavens.
That's the way with the likes of you. It would never have dawned on you that a bomb might be an oblong thing as big as a bank. Congratulations.
I know the manager, Monsieur Lecoeur, and he knows me. I'll go and see him at once.
It's Saturday. The bank's closed by now.
Yes, I know, but I'll ask him to come over with his keys.
Here is a phone. Ring him up.
Monsieur Lecoeur, s'il vous plaît. Où est-il? Sir Peter Perforant. C'est un cas pressant. Oui. Oui. Oh, merci. He's gone for the weekend. To his bungalow in La Fère. No answer.
Undoubtedly he is out somewhere enjoying his holiday.
I must search for him.
La Fère is 80 miles away.
I shall find a taxi.
Good luck. It's carnival weekend. You will not find a taxi.
for you, Sir Peter. Anything but to open the bag. No, I cannot oblige.
Well, you'd better, Monsieur Lecoeur.
But, Sir Peter, this is not merely a matter of turning a key and opening the door.
It isn't?
I don't believe you can have read our brochure. The door at the vault is on a time lock. This means that after the lock is set and the door closed, nothing can open it until a certain period of time has elapsed.
Yes.
So, precisely at 7:45 on Monday morning, but not one instant before, I can open the vault for you.
But then, as I see it, you'd better send for the locksmith and have the lock picked.
Ha! You couldn't open our vault without taking the door down. Uh-huh. We are, after all, the safest bank in France.
Well, then I'm afraid I'll have to trouble you to have the door taken down.
That would necessitate practically taking down the bank.
Then there is nothing for it but to take down the bank. Of course, there'll be compensation, I suppose. Still, the fact remains that by the sheerest inadvertence, for which I hold myself greatly at fault, I have turned your bank vault into a colossal bomb.
Ah, oh, mon Dieu.
A bomb compared with which your American multi-megaton hydrogen bombs are milk and water. Indeed, you'd no more weigh or measure my fluorine 80 plus in terms of mere megatons than you'd buy coal by the milligram or wine by the cubic centimeter.
Monsieur, one of us is going crazy.
Call a Hiroshima bomb a megaton. Dealing with my fluorine 80 plus, we have to make tables. So a million megatons equals one tyranniton. A million tyranitons equals one kasmaton. A million kasmatons make one brahmaton. And after a million brahmatons, we come to something I call an ultimon, because it is beyond even the scope of a mathematical conjecture.
Ah, les Anglais.
In a certain number of hours from now, and we are wasting precious time talking, Monsieur Lecoeur, if you don't get that vault of yours open, the universe will experience a shock of half a kasmaton. So please, please, Miss Lecoeur, let me use your telephone. Yes, Prime Minister. Of course, Prime Minister. I think it most advisable to get a move on, Prime Minister. Oh, thank you, Prime Minister. You have a nice day, too. Well, Monsieur Lecoeur, I managed to pull a few strings.
That was the Prime Minister of England?
I've not been a raging cold warrior for nothing. It's all arranged. Army and police are on the way. So are some colleagues of mine. The Custodia Safe Company, who installed your vault, are flying their best technicians into Fes. We'll have your vault open in a couple of hours or so. I'm sorry if this inconveniences you, but it's got to be done, and you must put up with it.
Inconveniences me? After this, Sir Peter Perfremont, you will kindly take your banking business elsewhere.
So, what is going on here?
Some trouble at the bank.
What sort of trouble?
I do not know. But I heard something about fluorine.
Which is...
I'm not sure. But they put it in toothpaste.
Hey, les bons! Foutez-moi le camp d'ici! Allez, allez!
My dear Dr. Frankenberg, how good to see you. And to report in the matter of fluorine, you have been totally confuted.
This better be good, Sir Peter. Security snatched me out of my home without so much as a guten tag, and I found myself on a plane with three other Nobel laureates, all of whom are singularly out of countenance, as am I.
Here, Frankenberg, take this.
What is it?
All my notes. It will inform you and your fellow Nobelists why the fluorine 80 plus locked up in that bank requires immediate and heroic measures. Now, your friends are all over there by the pastry kiosk. Help yourself to a profiterole and a café au lait and share those notes with them while I try to settle an argument.
All right. I hope there are no metaphors in this.
Now, gentlemen.
Sir Peter, back me up in this. I have been telling the mayor and the chief of police here that one must always evacuate the area surrounding an unexploded bomb until it is defused. He refuses to order the evacuation of Sable Death's feces.
Je m'en fiche de la bombe. It is Mardi Gras, Carnival. You cannot empty Sable Death's without ruining it. I will not do it. Non, better death than dishonor.
You may ease your mind on that score, Monsieur Le Maire. If my fluorine 80 plus blows, Monsieur, the problem of evacuation will not arise, for nobody anywhere ever will be any the wiser.
I've done hundreds of terrorist bomb scares, and we always remove the civilians. It's protocol.
As chief of police, it is my opinion that the present danger is only hypothetical. But the panic that must attend the mass alarm would be inevitably disastrous.
What do you recommend, Auguste?
It is only necessary to surround the block.
Who are you going to believe? A provincial police chief or an outside expert?
I assure you, monsieur, the danger is far from hypothetical.
So you claim, monsieur, so you claim. But I have my doubts. I would not be surprised if this is all an elaborate ruse, a put-in job. To get the bank vault open.
But the Armel car has been and gone, and the bank is just about empty of cash until Monday.
Monsieur Lecure, have you never heard of Raffles?
Raffles?
The Marchioness de la Croupe sponsors an annual raffle to benefit the orphanage, but I do not.
Raffles is not a thing. He is a person. A gentleman burglar, one who has no need to steal, but who indulges in crime for the mere pleasure of it.
But it is not this Monsieur Raffles who has placed the bomb in the vault. It is Sir Peter.
Precisely.
Good Lord, sir, Raffles is a fictional character.
He is British. You are British. QED.
Voilà.
Sir Peter is a well-renowned man of science. Surely you don't mean to suggest...
Poppycock!
What's your language?
It is a free country. I am entitled to my suspicions.
Oh, nothing is being accomplished here. Excuse me, gentlemen. Am I going to see what my fellow scientists think about this?
They are having coffee on land.
Ah, here is preferment now.
Well, gentlemen... What do you make of the situation?
I want to check and double-check. I want a computer. I want 5 days.
Come, we must grant the possibility that what we read here is valid. Even for the sake of argument, we must grant it.
Well, for the sake of argument.
You know, I find this case very interesting. You know, any relaxation of pressure... must render preferment so-called fluorine 80 plus harmless, must it not? This being the case, a hole drilled in the vault door should prove an ample measure of precaution. This hole made, why, let the matter wait until Monday.
So be it, as he talks sense.
Yes. Yes, bore holes. Leave preferment sing until Monday. But, unless I misread this formula, his so-called fluorine 80 plus will, by that time, have ceased to exist.
Metaphysics, Dr. Frankenberg.
What about metaphysics?
If we leave it, it ceases to exist. If we don't leave it, it ceases to exist. But, as I read Performance notes, if we leave fluorine 80 plus, we shall be involved with it in a state of non-existence. Better bore holes.
Brazine, what are you doing here? I thought you were indifferent to this whole business.
I am. After all, doom is a necessary consequence of living. But I had nothing better to do. Here, I brought you some tea in this thermos. How are things going?
Under control, my friend. The engineers from the Custodia Company have arrived by helicopter. They're inside setting up equipment so they can bore a hole in the vault.
I recognize Monsieur Lequet, but who are the rest of these people?
Well, that's Frankenberg.
Ah, the notorious Frankenberg.
And my colleagues Schiappa, Imhoff, and Wang, a demolition specialist from security, the mayor, the chief of police.
A committee of experts, as it were.
Yeah, more or less.
Our fate is sealed. And here in... they are bringing in gas masks.
Monsieur, what are the gas masks for?
The what?
Les masques à gaz. Ah. What are they for?
Bon, when the door is in any way interfered with, the alarm automatically goes off. We omit no precautions, none whatsoever. As soon as the alarm goes off, the vaults fill with tear gas from built-in containers.
Did you say tear gas?
In a high concentration.
Then get away from the door at once.
Why? What is wrong?
Frankenberg, you hate every word I say, old fellow, but you're an honest man. Conceding that my notes are right, and I swear they are, you'll see that my fluorine 80 plus has one affinity, one only. That is with C8H7C10, chloroacetophenone. And that, damn, is the stuff tear gas is made of!
If your notes are accurate, and I am still checking the math, it is true.
Slice it as you like. We've had it.
This, I believe, is what the dramatists call a perfectly damnable impasse. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Is there no part of this place that is not guarded by alarm?
Technically, there is only one part of our vault that's reachable from the outside, if you can call it the outside.
This is no time to quibble over nomenclature, monsieur.
The back of our vault abuts on the back of the jewelers next door.
Mannequins?
Oui. His vault, you see, is itself 2 feet thick, hence...
Get this monkey in there here at once!
In a moment, the Hollywood Theater of the Ear will return with the conclusion of A Little Bank Deposit. You're listening to 2000X from NPR, National Public Radio.
Here once again is your host, Harlan Ellison.
And now, Act Two of A Little Bank Deposit by Gerald Kirsch.
I'd open my vault with pleasure, but I have a partner, Vormadam. Our vault opens by 2 combination locks, which must be operated simultaneously. These locks are so placed that no one can operate both at the same time. I have my own secret combination, and Vormadam has his. We must both be present to open the vault.
This is how one gets rich.
That is how one stays rich.
Where is this Vormadam?
In London.
Milford, what is all that racket out there?
An aircraft has landed on the driveway, Lady Farrington.
Well, tell them to go away. Silently.
Which one of you is Jacob Vormadam?
Who are you? What do you mean by barging into a private residence?
MI5, Lady Farrington. Official business.
Outrageous.
Which one of you gents is Vormadam?
I am Vormadam.
Come with us!
I have no doubt whatsoever. The case is open and shut as far as I am concerned.
We have opened our vault for you, Monsieur Le Cœur, so be so good as to
this,
sign...
This, Sir Peter Preferment, is no less than a cunning master criminal, a veritable Moriarty.
Time runs out.
His real objective is the jeweler's strongroom.
Begin the drilling!
Keep your eye on him, man, if he makes one false move.
Imagination, my friends. Nothing but imagination is making us all sweat. All things considered, do you think that a Megaton, a Pteranodon, or an Altman could do us personally more harm than, let us say, a pound of dynamite?
Aha! You know a lot about dynamite, it seems.
I should hope so. I was sabotaging Soviet missiles, my friend, when you were still swinging a truncheon on the Rue des Poutins.
It is getting light out there.
What time is it, someone?
11:05.
Well, gentlemen, we've broken through.
Fine. Well, you can take it easy now. Fluorine 80 plus can't blow.
C'est bien, sir.
Is this it, this here powder?
Yes, indeed.
One of our men shimmied through the hole and snatched it up.
Look, Frankenberg, see how greatly it's diminished? We've had a close call.
I am still checking them up.
Well, Who's for a spot of tea?
How about a spot of this?
Kindly remove your hands from the neck of Sir Peter.
Thank you, Chief Inspector.
Sir Peter Percement, you are under arrest.
Arrest?
What? You could get away with it, monsieur.
Get away with what? What?
See here, just what are you going on
tonight,
about?
When every policeman in self-defense and its environs was here, Sir Peter's accomplices broke into the galleries of Monsieur le Prince du Mamelouk.
No. What?
The Prince of Mamelouk is one of the finest private art collections in the world.
Exactement. Yes, his precious collection of antique jewels, poof. His Rembrandts, his Holbeins, his Raphaels, his Titians, and so on. Poof. All poof. Poof, poof, poof. Oh. The accomplices. They too are poof. But the ringleader, the mastermind, he is not poof. He is none other than Sir Peter Performant, creator of the diversion that made the theft possible.
I have nothing to
Lock
do with
him
it.
Up! Send him to the guillotine!
Come quietly, monsieur.
Resine, Frankenberg, help me!
Don't worry, Performant. They will not sodomize you. You are too old.
I will send you a laptop. You can check your own map.
Carruthers, ring up the Home Office on the cell phone.
Greatest art burglary of all time, I'm told. They say that Lloyd's would rather have lost a fleet of transatlantic liners than what they underwrote those pictures for.
Were the thieves ever caught?
No.
And you?
Well, taking it by and large, I suppose it was for my own good that I was shipped back to England and put under guard. If I'd had any sense, of course, I'd have kept quiet about that confounded fluorine 80 plus. As it is, I made a prisoner of myself.
But they must have realized you had nothing to do with the theft.
Oh, well, no one has ever taken that charge seriously, except the chief of police of Les Sables de Fesse.
Then why are you kept under lock and key?
Well, they regard me... Well, of all people, as a compulsive chatterbox. As if fluorine 80 plus is anything to chatter about. Why, you could make it yourself.
Really?
You take 500 grams of fluor... Uh-oh. Here come my two friends. I'll take my leave of you now, sir. Good evening, gentlemen.
You have been listening to A Little Bank Deposit based on The Unsafe Deposit Box by Gerald Kirsch. In the cast, you heard Nathan Osgood as Ellis and the man from security, Tony Jay as Sir Peter, Stefan Rudnicki as Frankenberg, Phil Proctor as the banker, and Artie Johnson as the police chief, with Ira Burton and Lorna Raver. The play was dramatized, produced, and directed by Yuri Rosovsky. Warren Dewey was recordist, and Craig Sandler was our mixer.